Today, we're diving into the untouched beauty of the Kentucky Wildlands, led by Tammy Nazario. Tammy is the driving force behind transforming this region into a thriving tourism destination. With 22 years dedicated to the Kentucky Wildlands, her passion for Appalachia and commitment to its community shine through. Join us as we explore the transition from coal to tourism, the enchanting waterfall trail, and the journey towards National Heritage Area recognition. Get ready to unveil the treasures nestled within the Kentucky Wildlands. Everyone has a story to tell. We connect and relate to one another when we share our stories. My name is Amelia Old, and I am your host of Voices of Inspiration. Join me as I share stories of friends, family, and strangers from my everyday life and travels. You will laugh, possibly cry, or walk away feeling connected more than ever to those around you and ready to be the change our world needs. Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? So thank you so much for joining me today. I guess I'd really love to start off from the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal journey from being raised in Kentucky and how that led to becoming the executive director of the Kentucky Wildlands?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I grew up in Stearns, Kentucky. It is definitely a part of the Kentucky Wildlands. And so it's located in McCreary County in the southern part of Kentucky. And I feel like it's just absolutely one of the most beautiful places in the world. I may be a little biased, but in the Kentucky Wildlands area, we have over 800 waterfalls. And just in McCreary County alone, there are hundreds and arches. And so it's just a nature lover's dream there. And growing up, I was part of the latchkey generation. So we just were in the woods all day. We were out on our bikes all day, leave early in the morning, come home late at night. So nature's absolutely always been my favorite. I love all the hiking, the biking, just anytime I can be around water, creekside. Also, I have deep Eastern Kentucky roots. So very familiar with the area, but I also saw the challenges throughout the years. You know, the devastating flooding that they go through, just they have a lot of challenges that they faced, and they continue to be so resilient. And so I always knew I wanted to somehow serve Southern and Eastern Kentucky. I just didn't know in what capacity. This opportunity just kind of has fallen in my lap through just a series of events throughout my life, I guess. I've been now with the organization, actually this month is 23 years. So I've been here for a while and started out. The mother organization is Eastern Kentucky Pride. And so Pride started in 1997, cleaning up the waterways in Southern and Eastern Kentucky. And we do that in various ways. We recruit volunteers. We're very volunteer-based. Throughout inception, we've recruited 500,000 volunteers.
Wow.
As many as 30,000 in 1 year to pick up roadsides, mountainsides, creek banks, those types of things. So we organize cleanups across the region. We have as many as 500 of those during the month of April. And we also have a septic tank program where we install septic tanks in low-income homes. Straight pipes have been an ongoing issue in Southern and Eastern Kentucky forever. And so we, through different partnerships, we've been able to provide sanitary sewer to 30,000 homes throughout the years. We've removed nearly 1 million tires from the roadways. So at our 25th year, it was like, okay, we have spent all this time cleaning up. Now let's showcase it. Let's bring people here. And so from that, the Kentucky Wildlands was born. So much of our beauty is still natural. It's still untouched. It's, you know, much like the way it could have been when Daniel Boone came through here. So it's just a remarkable place to be. So the Kentucky Wildlands seemed to fit the best. And so that's where we went with that. We applied for implementation dollars from the Appalachian Regional Commission, and we're very fortunate to to receive that funding. And so we launched the Kentucky Wildlands through many challenges, to say the least. Branding a 42 county region over 14,000 square miles is not easy. And so a lot of work behind the scenes, preparing to launch, all of those things. And so here we were, ready to go in 2020, and boom, launching a tourism organization when COVID shows up. So we had to take a few steps back. We had to revamp, re-examine our messaging. And it just made perfect sense. Where is the place to social distance when you're in the middle of a pandemic? And it's right in the middle of 14,000 square miles of absolute untouched beauty. We have amazing camping spots here. We have unique stays, everything from yurts to tree houses to you can stay in a covered wagon. So we just revamped our messaging and we marched forward. And I like to always try to look for the positive in things, even though COVID was so challenging. It almost was a silver lining for us also. Once we did that, there is no better place to social distance. So once we took that approach, we moved forward. It was received exceptionally well. We just recently launched our Kentucky Wildlands Waterfall Trail because one of the goals, one of the main goals of the Kentucky Wildlands is to create connectivity across our region. So in order to create that connectivity, we wanted to start building trails across the region to bring more of those overnight stays and to get people more thinking on the line of staying overnight or spending a weekend here more so than just day traveling. It has been an incredible success. It's 17 waterfalls across our region. We did build a criteria for these too, because with over 800 throughout our region, it was hard to narrow it down. We have a group of just amazing ambassadors here. They've been with us, most of them, since day one. And they're our amazing photographers who provide their talents to us at no charge because they love this region as much as we all do. And so they came together. They are the, I call them the experts in the field. And they help us narrow it down. Accessibility was incredibly important. Parking, could you find it easily? Is there signage available? So we went through a whole line of criteria to narrow this down. We feel like each of them has some of the most unique opportunities that you'll see in a waterfall. For example, Yahoo Falls is the tallest waterfall in Kentucky. Cumberland Falls, it's the largest waterfall. And of course, the Niagara of the South. Love to brag about our moonbow there. And so, yeah, we're very proud about the waterfall trail, but we also hope that if you'll come and see one waterfall, then maybe you'll take a look at what's around, you know, visit some of these other mom and pop stores while you're there. Like, for instance, if you visit Princess Falls in Stearns, travel just a little ways on down the road to the real treasure, and it's Jewel Kids Grocery. You will get the best bologna sandwich you've ever had in your life. You'll get to experience some real Appalachian food, pinto beans, cornbread, all homemade right there. And if you're lucky, you'll catch a day of chicken and dumplings.
Growing up with the roots in Kentucky, how does your personal connections to that region influence your dedication to serving the Appalachians through the Kentucky Wildlands?
I've saw the struggles throughout this region. I see everything that so many have faced. I know what some of the challenges are just from growing up and seeing them. The fact that, you know, we have faced devastating flooding throughout the years. And one of the biggest challenges that we're facing now is, you know, our region has been dependent on the coal industry for decades now. And our region built, I mean, Appalachia built this nation. And so all of a sudden, we don't have that industry anymore. And so it was really important to be part of how do we rebound from such an economic loss. And so taking a look, and I think many across the region have done the same thing, what was the hanging fruit for us? And it's our natural assets. And so for years we used our natural assets to thrive and to grow. And so let's revamp that now and use them again, but just in a different way.
So the decline of the coal economy has been a significant challenge in the region. How did the idea of transitioning from coal to tourism come about, and what impact do you think that has had on the communities that you serve?
I can't say for everybody, but I know for us, or for me in particular, it was that I've just known the beauty of our region for so long. I know a lot of it inside out, but then there's also places that I'm finding every day I've never heard of. And I've always felt like Eastern Kentucky has kind of been left off the map when it comes to just being put on the map for having such natural beauty. We have kind of been overlooked for years, and I wanted to make sure that I was helping bring it to the light that it needs to be in.
You've been with the organization, like you said, almost 23 years. How have you seen it evolve during that time?
Lots of changes. A lot of changes. We're a lot smaller staff now. Funding challenges are simply just harder now than they have been in the past. But of course, we have made that evolution as we move. We're definitely not leaving behind those other programs. We will continue to do the cleanups. We will continue to improve the water quality through the septic tank program. We'll continue all of those things, but we're going to do it on a more volunteerism opportunity. So we're going to really have a focus on volunteerism in 2024. And so we're putting all the plans together for that. And we also, just because we are such a smaller staff, we're more dependent on the community itself to help us. And so we've just launched an ambassador program, the Kentucky Wildlands Ambassador Program. So we'll rely a lot on those ambassadors to kind of help us when we can't come, some events we won't be able to get to, or when they're out in the nature, then just hashtagging us, sharing that to help get the word out of who is the Kentucky Wildlands. And as we move forward and continue to evolve in 2024, we will be Kentucky's first national heritage area. So we're incredibly excited about that. We started this process in 2019. It was co-championed by Congressman Rogers and Senator McConnell to begin the feasibility study to make us the first national heritage area in Kentucky. There's only 55 throughout the United States. And so we will be one, hopefully by spring of 24.
That's exciting. How has the community responded to the way that the organization has evolved over time and all of these different programs that you have? How has the community responded to that?
Overall, I think it's very positive. We've had a lot of support as we move forward. Even in the building process, we had 6 town halls because it was community buy-in is the most important thing in order to make this project successful. And so we have tried to keep that as our number one focus through everything that we do. How are we keeping the communities involved? How are we keeping them informed? And so, of course, that became a lot more challenging through COVID. We did continue to have Zoom meetings and those types of things, but the community overall seems very supportive. We had over 350 people attend one of the town halls. We've had plenty of community support come in through the National Park Service. But we still realize also that the name recognition is something that we've really got to work on. anytime you're building a new organization, just that name recognition is, you've got to get that name out there.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit about the Waterfall Trail? And that's a new initiative with you guys. What makes that trail unique? And how do you think it contributes to the overall tourism initiative in that region?
It's unique in that there's not a waterfall trail here. And of course, we've always heard all about the Bourbon Trail, the Bourbon Trail. Well, we're more than bourbon and horses in Eastern Kentucky, although we are getting some places along the Bourbon Trail, and I'm super excited about that. But we're a little more unique, and so what we have is nature. And so the Waterfall Trail, that's kind of our prize over here. And so very excited about it. Set 17 waterfalls across the region. Everything from novice to expert. So there's something for everybody. We wanted to make sure and include that. There are also some handicap accessible trails. So there's some that are just very easy. So you can bring your children along. You can bring your strollers with you. And of course, we've tried to mark those that are pet friendly, but I always encourage everyone to do their own research also.
Can you share a memorable experience that you've kind of gone through with your time with the organization over the last almost 23 years? Has there been something that just really stands out?
Yeah, I have a few of those. I've had the opportunity to give two people a brand new home who had nothing. And so when you can do that, you're changing not just their life, but you're changing generations to come, because mm-hmm. their grandchildren are going to have a place to be, their children. So that those two will always be incredibly special to me. We've had several, you know, episodes of just incredible stories where we've replaced, or not even replace, we've added a septic tank to a home that had never had one. One such was an 86-year-old woman. So, you know, you're changing their life. I've had calls on the other side of it with the Kentucky Wildlands, you know, just people sharing how they had no idea this place even existed. And so they received our information and they would call me. And you know, I had one lady I sat on the phone for a couple hours with one night. She was taking care of her mother. She was in a wheelchair. And she was like, you know, we really want to come down, but I have no idea. I've never been there before. Have no idea how to even start to know where is okay to that would be handicap accessible. And she just wouldn't tire out too much. And so I spent, you know, a couple of hours researching and putting her some things together. She came down that weekend. She called me afterward and she was like, honey, this was amazing. And she was just telling me how thankful she was that I had taken that time to spend with her, but more so that she had the opportunity to experience this and it not be a challenge for her. And so I think that's something that we pride ourselves on very deservingly here in Southern and Eastern Kentucky, is our hospitality is it's unmatched.
What role do you see the National Heritage Area playing in preserving the cultural and natural heritage of Southern and Eastern Kentucky?
Well, our culture and heritage is strong. And so a National Heritage Area is going to put us on that national map of a place to visit. Mm-hmm. And again, it's one of those things where I feel like we've been overlooked for so long that this will actually put us visible and bring us to the forefront where I feel like we've deserved to be for a very long time.
How do you envision the future of the Kentucky Wildlands?
Well, I guess in a very biased way, I hope that it continues to grow. I hope that people continue to buy into it. I hope that eventually we're known as well as the Badlands. I really see it as a great opportunity. My heart's in it. I've always believed that regionalization is how we have to go. I just hope that it becomes the popular opportunity that it has to be.
Are there any hidden gems or lesser known parts of the area that you're particularly excited for people to discover?
Absolutely. We have so many hidden gems. We actually try to highlight some of those in our newsletter, our quarterly newsletter. But especially, you know, even some of these waterfalls are hidden gems. The Pine Island Double Falls is just an incredible falls. There's actually two waterfalls that come down together. So I consider that one of the hidden gems. And then, of course, we have so many of our unique places to stay. I think those are hidden gems. Our small mom and pop stores, like I mentioned, Jewel Kids grocery store, that's just like walking back into the 1950s, and it's just incredible. So I think we have a lot of hidden gems throughout our area, and we are excited to show those off.
How do you hope that the Kentucky Wildlands will be perceived by a broader audience? So when you start having more visitors come in and you start getting the recognition that you deserve, how do you hope that this organization and in this area that you live and that you've grown up in, how do you hope it'll be perceived?
Well, I hope it definitely is positive. And we have done actually our first visitor study since we launched. And in the first year, it showed that we were able to change the perception in a more positive manner by 47%. So that's where we want to go. We want people to come here and be like, oh, wow, I've always heard all of these negative stereotypes. Mm-hmm. This place isn't like that at all. Yeah. And so that's what we're hoping to achieve.
What advice do you have for other regions looking to transition from declining industries to sustainable tourism based on your experience?
I would definitely take a look at what assets you have readily available. It's always easier to start with something that you have instead of trying to build something new. Definitely bring in the experts in what you're thinking, because I knew absolutely nothing about tourism. So I was a wallflower in every tourism conference that I could find, trying to just learn anything and everything I can, and to also meet those that were in the industry that might be able to help me. And that's one thing I've been incredibly fortunate with, is the Kentucky Wildlands does have an incredible team. So definitely make sure that you're relying on those who know what they're doing.
That's really good advice. You touched on this a little bit, but what other exciting projects and developments can we expect moving forward?
Well, we, of course, will continue to work toward becoming the National Heritage Area. That's going to open up a lot of opportunities for us. We are also working on a signage program that we hope to get off the ground next year. Signage has been a little bit challenging, but we're continuing to work toward that. We will continue to market, but we will also be, as we talked about culture and heritage, we're going to work toward releasing a culture and heritage trail, just like that of the Kentucky Wildlands Waterfall Trail. So those are just a few of the things that are coming in 2024, and it's ever changing with us. So stay tuned.
Now, I want to go back just for a moment that you mentioned that you guys are really starting to kind of move into this voluntourism. Can you talk just a little bit more about that and what you would like to see happen and what opportunities that you hope will be available for visitors?
Absolutely. One of the best examples for that, I think, is every year we have a cleanup during the month of April. April is spring cleanup month. And one of those cleanups is at Cumberland Falls State Resort Park. And so, as we all know, that's one of our largest tourism attractions in our region. And so we have recruited as many as over 600 volunteers to clean up 29 miles of roadway. We remove thousands of bags of trash right before the tourism season starts, so that just their drive in is just as beautiful as it should be. And then we also, after the flooding season, then a lot of trash tends to gather at the bottom of the falls. So we removed thousands of bags of all of that from the bottom also to prepare it for the tourism season. So we would love to see some of those who really want to give back to our environment use that as an opportunity, come visit. Also, stay at the Cumberland Falls State Resort Park or the Covered Wagons are just up the road. Go stay there and then take in, spend a few more days and see what our beautiful area has to offer.
So where can our listeners find you guys online?
We are at explorekywildlands.com. We are also on Facebook and Instagram, which you can link to from our website. And yeah, you can sign up for our newsletter to stay updated on everything that we've got going on, new opportunities. And again, if anybody in Southern and Eastern Kentucky is listening, our ambassador program, we're taking applications right now too. So would love to have those come in.
And I will make sure to link to all of your website and all of your social media profiles in the notes of this episode. Someone who enjoys traveling, how has your personal passion for exploration influenced your approach to promoting Kentucky wildlands as a travel destination?
I think because I've been fortunate to be able to travel so much that I've saw so many beautiful areas, and it always stuck in the back of my mind. We have this. We have all of this. Mm-hmm. But people aren't coming to see ours, and why? And so I think that's made it even more important to me to make sure that it gets the marketing attention that it deserves.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was not familiar with the area prior to connecting with you. And I personally am adding it to my own list to visit. And I'm very excited to see and hear all of the things that you guys are doing. And I can't wait to personally visit. I have one more question, and I ask everyone this. Do you have a favorite quote or any words of wisdom that you would like to share?
I think we've all been through so many challenges the last couple of years, especially. It's just to continue to work together, continue to build partnerships. That's as each of us face more and more funding challenges, those types of things, partnerships are so important. And so that would be probably just my line of advice.
I love that. And I think that's incredibly important. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really enjoyed learning more about the Kentucky Wildlands. And like I said, I cannot wait to visit.
Please do. We can't wait to have you.